Hello, and welcome to my very first interview on The Light Leaders. About 3 weeks ago, I got back to Bali, and a week before that, I was in the south of Turkey in Sagalassos with my very good friend Yunus, as you're about to find out in this episode. Now, we went on that trip with cameras, with a van, full of adventure gear, not really knowing what was going to happen. And as we sat in the top of this mountain, looking down the valley, as you'll see in the video, we got into this state where we were able to tap into something truly unique, which is bringing together the understandings of reality from religion, from philosophy, from fractality and quantum theory, and synthesizing that into a beautiful poetry that expresses some type of shared view over what's happening in the world, what's happening as life is manifesting itself, and as we enter into this next stage of humanity where we live in an aligned and coherent state. So this specific discussion is much more relaxed. It's a back and forth, it's an ideation. So listen to it if you're in a place where you can relax too. It's not going to be a high-powered bam, 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 knowledge insights type of thing. But it is going to be the type of thing where you can have in the background and you're going to get some key insights at the right moments to be able to activate your own thinking process around some of these complex topics. Because we all know that things like time are an illusion. We all know about fractals, about maybe divine masculine, divine feminine. But those concepts, for many people, can stay disconnected from one another in the mental model. What happens in this video as we bring on one and another is that we synthesize them into something coherent, into an understanding that is unified and holistic. Now, we didn't cover everything. It's only 1 hour podcast discussion, and these topics are huge. So if you're watching it and there's things which you have questions about, my intention is to continue making videos like this by inviting key people who I feel I can achieve great depth with in these discussions, and to go even further and even deeper, and out of that complexity bring even more simplicity to our mutual understanding of reality. So if there's any questions you have, write them either in the comment or message me personally or in the Light Leaders group chat on Telegram, where we can discuss further and it can inform the process for how we tie this all together. Because this is the intention of this mini-series, tying it all together. There are so many ways of perceiving this vast interdimensional reality that we are part of, yet there are ways which can bring it all together. Doesn't mean that all the perspectives will be compatible. Doesn't mean that one belief and another won't contradict each other. As I like to say, this is part of the natural paradox of reality, that mutual cohabitation of beliefs that seem opposing can exist. What does that mean? That one person believing one thing and something believing something completely different can both be true at the same time. The duality that separates them is a function of where they seem in relation to each other. And that seems opposed, so that seems different. But when you take a step back, both of them are actually true, just pointing in different directions. So as you watch this, if there are any beliefs which seem shocking to you, take a step back and say, could I be able to hold this without attaching myself? And where am I attaching myself to my own? So all of these keys are things which can help as we explore this mission of what reality really is and have a little fun in the process. So enjoy it. This is the very first time that I am stepping out in this way into the world, and I'm super happy to be here. And this is just a glimpse, a drop in the ocean of what type of things are about to come. So thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you in there.
Life is love. It's already life. Here we are, the 16th of November. Nearing the end of the year of the Divine Feminine.
Ooh.
2022. In the land of the mother, Anatolia, in Turkish translated as full of mother.
Full of mother.
Yeah, Anadolu. Full of mothers, you could also translate.
So, 3 months ago, I was in Bali. And I was on the edge of whether to come to Europe or how, or whether it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, I was in this beautiful place called Les Waterfalls, very sacred, huge waterfall,
mm-hmm.
and my friend's place. And I was like, I'm doing it, I'm coming. And I booked the ticket. And immediately after, my whole body was like, okay, start eating heavier foods, because I was eating only fruits at the time. Start eating heavier foods, you know, like start getting your shit together. You're mm-hmm. going to Europe in a week. You know, it was a week later. And I flew in and I arrived on the day before a beautiful festival in Portugal. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of a 3 month pilgrimage across, I don't know, 7 countries, something like that. And all the way here to Turkey, the beautiful Anatolia, where we've met, dear brother. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
And we met in the Rainbow Gathering, which was the last of many stops, many communities I visited. Actually, not really the last, because then we even went to Urfa.
Mm-hmm.
But
we met exiting the Rainbow too. That was like,
yeah. So Rainbow has definitely been one of the like peak highlights of this whole journey. But what about you, brother? What has this last 3 months been for you?
In this 2 year, in this last stage of my 3 year journey in life, I have once again, in a more concentrated manner, seen Divine Mother take me on a journey in her bosom.
So let's talk a bit about that, the Divine Mother. And I was recently in two very powerful plant medicine ceremonies, one in Zurich and then 2 nights in 1 hour east of Istanbul,
mm-hmm.
east-west of Istanbul.
West.
And man, there is so much potency in this divine feminine force of creation. And there's also, of course, a lot of potency in the divine masculine Shiva full power force. But the feminine is the birthing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the holding of life. It's the nurturing, womb. The womb, the cosmic womb.
Yeah.
And as we come into ourselves, which is a journey which I believe everyone is on to some extent, coming into the real essence, the Atman, yeah,
mm-hmm.
as is described in this beautiful book right here, the Bhagavad Gita, there's really a process of being nurtured and held. It's not just like you're thrown out into the open and you're all alone,
mm-hmm.
although it can feel that way sometimes. But there's always that divine feminine, that divine mother that's kind of like stewarding your journey into liberation.
Mm-hmm. This reminds me of the story of Jonah, Yunus in Turkish.
Which is your name, Yunus.
Yes. And also the inspiration behind Moby Dick, that scene in Pinocchio, many of us would know.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah is, and let's think of this story collectively. Jonah is sent on a mission by God to warn the inhabitants of this one city against their evil deeds, or else they will be punished by God. But if they turn to God and start experiencing it in their daily lives, they will be saved. But he can't take this mission on, and he runs away, gets on a ship and leaves the Holy Land.
Mm.
On the way, things happen and they throw him into the sea, because they somehow, the ship's inhabitants, realize that he is the faulty one on that ship, causing them bad fortune. In the sea, he's swallowed by a fish.
Mm.
So sort of like a fish could be connected to the symbolism in Christianity and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's... maybe this can be like written somewhere, but something Pisces, the, you know, in the tree, in the flower of life.
The Vesica Pisces.
Vesica Pisces, yes. Yeah. That's also like a fish.
Yes.
So the connection of those two things.
Mm, which, you know, the Vesica Pisces in the story of creation, you start from the all expanding to infinite,
mm-hmm.
and then the first expansion away into the second infinity is the Vesica Pisces.
Yes.
It's the birth of duality
mm-hmm.
from all unified into two dualities, yeah, and polarity, masculine, feminine,
mm-hmm.
all comes from that initial division. Does this link into
beautifully put.
To this?
Mm-hmm. So this, I feel like, is a key that is all the way in the realm of ideas and archetypes, let's say, that connects directly to your experience in Turkey and the plant medicine and what I say about being carried in the bosom. And like the focalizing point of these two opposite realities is the story of Jonah.
Yes.
So this duality and realizing the feminine part that completes that duality in the field of reality, let's say, and in the field of time, realizing that we are in the passing stage between one age,
yes,
and the other. So within that, there, some things are, I believe, beyond the individual will.
Mm,
yeah. We are the Pisces, we are in the womb now.
Yeah.
And
but we still have to grow.
Of course.
But is the baby growing itself in the womb,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm.
Or is the mother growing the baby, or is it a co-creative process? And all of it is the divine, the God, manifesting that baby. In fact, one view on non-dual understanding of time, and you know, these things like quantum mechanics, manifestations
mm-hmm.
type of discussions,
mm-hmm.
is that it's not cause and effect. It's not all of these causes had to come together to have the effect of a baby. It's the idea of a baby came first in consciousness, and from that idea manifested fractally outward in both directions the ripples of cause and effect and all the causes needed to reach that point. So actually it's slightly different. The DNA coming
in.
It's slightly different than the traditional view on time and on a baby. So as we become this new civilization deeply in the womb of the Mother Earth, of the Divine Mother also, that idea of a new civilization is already created,
mm-hmm.
and we are going through the causal
mm-hmm.
undertaking for us to reach it.
Mm-hmm. The lightning is coming down through the lack of Jacob's ladder in the Kabbalah.
Oh, in the tree of life.
In the tree of life, it's like there, it's already manifested. Like, the only thing is to connect the dots to the Malkut, the kingdom, the reality, the manifestation.
Yeah, but there's also an understanding that despite this already manifested inevitability, there's still the free will.
Mm.
And this is one of the ultimate paradoxes, which is we're kind of going there whether we like it or not. But the we is who's going there is also the we who had the idea of going there in a more expanded form. So it is because we like it and have chosen. And then we've chosen to forget and to be here
mm-hmm.
in this version of divine. And at the same time, this version of divine also has the will to undertake that process and that growth in the womb until it's born into the next stage. So it's both created and existing and vibrating over in that new reality, and also being formed and created in mm-hmm. real time, where the precisions of how that baby looks and how it comes out and its character and everything, that's not defined. The baby will come. But how it looks is part of the area, the realm of reality that us on the earth level and in this game of life are participating in that creation of.
Wow. This took me through so many ideas and landscapes, but I want to come to it slowly and in the end connect it to, apply it to our lives. You know, it said the concept of beauty was put into our minds by angels. This could also be taken as a metaphor on the progress of civilization and at what point people stopped just being primitive survival animals and turned into appreciating the beauty of life and the, you know, woman start having jewelry. But let's back up. This is just a small manifestation of beauty. What I mean is,
Nick, can I pick you up on something here?
Yeah.
If we look at other life forms on Earth, which are divine in their own rights, like, you know, a cat or a fox or whatever, they're living. They're in the flow of creation. There's some varying degrees of will, although, you know, some argue more than others. Yet those beings don't have metacognition. They're not able, at least as far as we're aware, who knows, with some like whales and dolphins who also are very like high level of cognition, elephants, they're not able to observe the beauty from a reflective stance. They're immersed in it fully. And that is one of the uniquenesses of what it means to be human. And what in a way makes that so unique is that through the process of separation of the divine, which all Maya, all manifested, has gone through to be separate from the all infinite potential, there is a loss of awareness of what it is. But through the metacognition of humans, we can regain that awareness, reunify with God, remember that we are that, and look at that from the outside, and look at the beauty of the divine from the not divine perspective, in the sense that from the sense of ego of separation, and realize the beauty from the outside, knowing that we are that. So it's this like infinite paradox where we're all that is, but we've separated to see ourselves.
And what you're talking about, for me, reminds me of the hero's journey. Because even Campbell, before you talked about, you know, where we're going to get to is decided on as like a, as a matrix. But what is apparent in that matrix, what will be there as the components when the whole is set in a some predestined form, like the hologram is on us to decide and all depends on all of our collected decisions. Like you talked about the face of the child. And the reason I talked about beauty is there's something here that is feminine and about all of these things that gives us an archetype that we could
template.
Exactly, template that we could somehow have it in our mind somewhere and create with that, and it will have the signature of that template in its beauty.
Yeah.
I believe we're like, and it's in our DNA too, the DNA that all of us share, all living beings, something in our DNA perhaps, and we're slowly activating it. That's what something I felt while you were talking.
Yeah, this idea that, again, there's that interplay between what is defined and what is variable, which in a way is also the interplay between the divine masculine and the divine feminine, because the structural component of the divine masculine can be seen as what is defined and predictable. Predictable not to diminish it in any way, but in the beauty of structure, of geometries, you know, even though, and this book is an excellent entry point for this conversation of geometries and cosmic geometries, highly recommend, even though there are patterns of the universe, even though there are ways in which matter is manifest,
be here now,
there is a component that is infinitely unpredictable, that is never defined, and that is one of the aspects of God, right? So there's this balance always present.
And whatever, yes, this connects to what we actually, something I would like to connect it to this, something I said before this space opened up. You know how living in a beautiful setting I felt like would take me away from the chaos of everything, and some part of me was scared.
Yes.
It's because in Turkey I feel like the specialty of people is that they're taught to somehow predestined to see reality and get closer and closer to divinity through seeing it in the chaos and that unpredictable part you said. But the paradox, or the beauty of it all, but whichever we you look at it again, or the tragedy, is they have this mentality in one of the places where like, think about it. In prehistoric times, there are parts in Turkey that was like Bali, perfect all year around.
Yes.
And that way also perfect for life to develop. And
well, the south is still quite
like
a bit like that.
And but what I'm trying to say is that's still present, but people are so disconnected from it. They are so in that chaos part. And I, even this summer, in I stayed for the longest, since 20th of August, for almost a month in Kabak, Fethiye. Beautiful, beautiful valley. And that's where I also had my most special experience with bees. Sort of, I'd say, an initiatory.
With bees?
With bees, yeah.
Wow.
Bees that were drowning in the sea. And then I saw them as I swam, and I picked them up and put them on my head.
Whoa.
Anyway, that's a different story.
One, definitely one to explore another time. That's powerful.
But I saw there a reality of perfection. The outside is perfect, but as I saw people through the years work on it, categorize it, construct on it, do different types of
changes.
You know, proteins. When you burn, cook protein, something happens, it doesn't turn back.
Oh, yeah. Like a, I guess just a process, you know, it's like a transformative process.
Like when something is burned, it is transformed in such a way that it can't go back. Basically, what I'm talking about is that, like, burning our imprints, like our mind's imprints, not our heart's imprints, on it, and forever changing the surface of reality.
Right, because we are creating reality in every moment, through the creative power of the vibration we put out, right?
And you're, this is in such so much denser and less awakened version of that. That's what it can evolve to.
Yes.
And that's the template of what I'm talking about.
But what I'm
about.
Saying is that whether people realize it or not,
yeah, that's
they're
what
creating.
The, yes.
There's a, of course, being aware of it is is that. But what you're saying is that basically there's these projections of the mind, which are come from an evolutionary perspective, come from an intoxication of society perspective and certain agendas that are not always positive. And that imprint is so deep that it then modifies the template of creation, the, even the natural order, the natural template of creation that we're born with to live in harmony and unity and grace and abundance, such that the manifestor, which aware or not, is projecting that in the outside world.
Yes.
And creating something distorted, something that is further away from the true divine nature.
Creating that separateness.
Separation, yeah.
Exactly. The literally a form of divinity that this nature, this locality of the goddess, even let's say, is it's so apparent and so beautiful and so encapsulating, they are trying to separate themselves from it, and that's where the femininity is
pushed away
and not seen, I feel like, because they're not opening themselves up to the love and abundance that's already available to them.
Always available.
Always.
And it goes so deep, you know. I'm on a journey every day of remembering what I call the blanket of abundance. Because when you feel it, it's like a blanket. It's like a warmth. And I can feel it right now as I tune into that vibration. And the belief systems that were ingrained in us from such a young age are trying so hard to say the exact opposite. That there is not enough, that you are not enough, and that...
Shout out Nietzsche.
Everything, everything is lacking, and you have to do this to survive. And you can create that reality, and the Earth is the proof of it. The Earth people have manifested the reality of that lack. Not everywhere, and there are beautiful places like the rainbow and like up in high up in the mountains and some villages here and there and some awakened people here. Like, there are beautiful places where this is not the case, and God bless those places that are growing and thriving and sharing their wisdom with the world consciously and unconsciously through the morphic fields. But right here and in most of the world, there's a chaos story. And that story is trying to re-perpetuate itself. But in parallel with that story, which is kind of a crashing train, there's at the same time that womb that we talked about of a new earth being birthed. So this creates kind of like a conflict of directionality between where all of creation is heading and where an old story is expiring, because that old story was relevant in a time when creation was on the downwave of the cycle of evolution of consciousness. And now the wave has turned, some say, since 2012. Who's to say, really? But it has turned. And we are on the rise into an evolved state of consciousness, a golden era, some would call it. And so because of that rise, there's this conflicting energy of the universal flow towards this greater abundance and remembering and lifting of the veils, with the momentum of the old train of society that is still advancing because it has so much momentum from hundreds of years of operation. It's still going that way. Yeah.
Sponsored by.
But yeah, sponsored by Iranian dates. Good for your health. So that train is run out of gas, but it's still got momentum. So when people look around and they still see a chaotic world, what they're seeing is a train which was going quite fast and it's still going quite fast, but that's has no more gas. So it's just advancing, and at some point it's going to stop. But as it stops, it's actually going to lose interest, because in parallel, that birthing is happening all over the world, like in these types of conversations, like in the Rainbow Gathering, like I mentioned, in all those beautiful places where people are awakening, even in cities all around the world, people are waking up to the truth, whether it's fully conscious or whether it's starting to reject things that don't feel aligned, because those veils are lifting, because the birthing of the new world is taking place. And so in parallel to the train running out,
mm-hmm.
there's the new world that's starting to be created by people like us, right? And so eventually you're on the train, you're like, hang on a second, I can see where this train is going.
Mm.
That doesn't look so good.
No.
Whoa, what about this train over here? Actually, this spaceship over here, man, let's take off. And so there will be this transition, which will get easier and easier and easier for more and more people to enter into the new template.
Mm.
But it involves disillusionment. It involves Kali energy, the destructive force, the destructive feminine that's going to come and swipe some people. Absolutely. Some people are going to get a big dose of karma. Some people are going to go through a lot of suffering, not because they have to, but because they're still choosing attachment and hanging on to old stories, like we have many times. And through that letting go, which will be held by the feminine, if they so choose to receive that love, it's available for everyone, there will be a process of remembering and a process of being reborn into the aligned civilization that leads to that heaven on earth reality.
Oh. What up? Okay.
Damn, son.
Okay. Look, so I'm gonna spit some inspiration on your head tops.
Just get me some dates in that bowl.
What? Okay, so I intend to turn like a whirling dervish, but still have everything I say all connected in a non-linear fashion, because they're all coming from my heart.
Mm.
I have had some girls that women that have changed my life in different ways, that I could reflect this inner divinity onto, and have given me glimpses of this something. And what was beautiful about this last one, she's giving me such, at least at this moment, inshallah, in the future too, such undivided presence and compassion and kapsama, like this, not holding the space like from within, but caressing the space and like being like the womb, basically.
Mm.
And it's such a powerful experience to slowly open myself up to that, which is in itself a feminine thing.
Yes.
That we need to ease into our femininity to be stronger men somehow. The solution is always in the opposite.
Absolutely. Because actually it's the fear of the man that rejects the feminine.
Mm.
The fear of being out of control, the fear of being loved so deeply that you are completely held. Are you worthy of that? Is the question the man asks. But of course, worthiness is inherent to our birth. Yet we have to remember that. And so, exactly as you say, the process of humanity and the process of the individual human in that humanity, like the one you just shared, is one of regaining balance. And in that, there is a course correction of the toxic masculine into a highly balanced masculine, one which embraces their femininity, doesn't push it away, or doesn't overcompensate in it either, also embraces their masculinity in this beautiful dance. And some dance more like this, and some dance more like that. And there's a pattern.
Like this.
You're like this. There's a pattern that each creator chooses, but there is a dance that's consistent. And it's just time to bring the dance into coherence. It's been out of coherence, it's been disharmonic. And now the dance is still dancing, but it's going to come into a harmony within ourselves, within each other, together as one. As all instruments in the orchestra become one and become one orchestra.
So everyone, you know, just like the zodiac, are all part of the same thing, but divided into 12
houses,
harmonizing, connecting, opposing, similaring, differenting, chilling, vibing, compatibling.
Compatibling.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Shapes and forms and archetypes and houses, as you said. But it is God that lives in all of these houses, the same person. But just that way, he can have neighbors, or she, or it.
All that is.
And the reason I'm like laying this down is because I believe we share certain transpersonal archetypes, like our role in this whole sonic painting or logo. Wow. No, I mean, I got that from Kanye, shout out, but yeah.
But for sure, sonic painting, like, doesn't matter who said it, that goes deep.
That's
and,
deep,
and Kanye.
Bro. Yo, that's
Kanye. Major respect.
Respect.
So, why sonic painting? Because actually, the universe is all vibration and sound wave. Well, sound is what we call it when we interpret it, but it's energy wave, yeah? And so, really, if you abstract all of this to the most meta standpoint, we're talking about a bunch of organized waves. Right now, even as it is, the world, I mean, this cup is a bunch of organized waves into the manifestation of this cup. And in quantum theory, in a split experiment, right, you have that superposition of the wave state and the point state. The wave state being the infinite possibility of manifested creation. It's not actually infinite, it's within the wavelength of that wave, actually, if you think about it. And then the point is where, hello, thank you for your blessings. The point is where that wave collapses when it's observed by a conscious perceiver and it becomes a single position. So
yeah, that's beautiful.
Thank you for your kisses. So, if all of reality is a wave, it's already organized by a masculine principle in some way, through the being birthed through a feminine principle in some way. But it's organized in clusters, just like the cluster of this, right? And in those clusters, in every single wave of reality, there is variability as to how it's going to manifest. Yet, this cup, the organizing cluster of how it's manifesting, is organized in such a way that the probabilistic outcome is that it's going to keep manifesting as a cup.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the same is true with us and with our being. Yet that infinite probability is always there in everything. And suddenly this cup could manifest as a banana. You know? It's possible. Yet it's not likely, but in the context of this discussion and the reality...
Well, let's say it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's in a realm of possibility. Yeah. Well, one more point here,
of course,
which is that in the light of this conversation, there is a wave cluster of how the world is now, how we've perceived it, how we've remembered it, how we're creating it in real time, the morphic memory of this world. And it's manifesting it like this. The difference between this world and our society and everything and this cup is that the impulse of creation for this world is that it wants it to manifest into a more evolved and conscious and what we could say different world, whereas the impulse of creation doesn't want this cup to change. The probabilities are being accelerated towards a probabilistic outcome, which is the dynamic in which we define that baby.
Mm.
The outcome of the baby being born is existing. It is there.
Mm.
But the way in which it's born, all of those details like we talked about, are being manifested through each creative force in each of us, creating, channeling the spirit of creation that we are and are separate from simultaneously in superposition out into the world and manifesting in real time that intention. But all of the manifestations are aligning towards the same outcome because they're pulled magnetically to that probabilistic, even deterministic almost, direction. And it's that balance between determinism, that it will definitely happen, and probabilism, that it's likely to happen, that brings the unpredictability of the masculine and feminine in place. Yes, it's gonna happen, but also maybe it won't happen,
yeah,
because there's always the unknown.
So while you're talking about, I have some...
Please.
Some like activation energies being released in my subconscious, let's say.
Mm.
But I want to talk not about them, but about what exactly caused them. It is that basically where we're treading near, where this ship of logos is treading near, is I talked about the cup. It's a beautiful rainbow. and how it's possible for it to change. And I wanted to say not possible, but rather not possible, but not impossible.
The mystery zone in between.
Because the reason I chose to say that is because it's somehow the magic is in the meeting point. Like, let's say the clit of the Vesica Pisces, if I may. That point, I'm sorry. But
you
it's that point. Like, for example, this I would say, coming from a more traditional point, or not playing devil's advocate, but rather playing Allah's advocate, this is impossible to change, this cup, to change this manifestation, because it's, you know, I can't say this, but I'm making it to make a point, because it is not parallel to the divine will. But the point that we're both sharing in our experience, and in, as I said, in our transpersonal makeup, is the gray zones in between that are more immediately accessible by the consciousness of a normal person.
Yes.
Of a this,
yeah, the norm, the like the average,
yes,
manifestation of human in this time.
Because like we can change the cup, but the thing is, we're gonna change reality when the cup's change is believed in and seen by many, not just one or two. But if it's many, if all the world is looking at this cup changing,
yes,
then that will...
Yes, and you just blew my mind with something here. Do you want to continue?
Yeah, if you're going to remember it.
Yeah.
Because what I'm getting at is I've been blessed to realize, and this is like a key for those who can access it, a key that you opened some doors with, my friend, I have seen. It is in organizations where the chaos is so distinct, but we are still, as a young species, trying to put order, tame the chaos. We're not trying to expand the order. It's still like islands in a vast sea, the order we're able to manage. And just now, there are these Hawaii-like places that have come up from the sea relatively recently that people can surf on. What do I mean by this metaphor? What I mean is having that divine seeped into the very fabric of those organizations.
Yes, divine organizations.
Divine organizations, which somehow start reflecting the aspects of the divinity, embodying the aspects.
Yes.
Please.
And currently, the divine is in those organizations in some dose because of that unpredictable divine. Things, no matter how hard an over-controlling masculine energy tries to clamp down the probabilistic outcome of a project, a company, there's still some chaos that gets thrown in and that makes it unpredictable, so that the people inside of that and all of life can evolve consciously through transformation. Yet now what's happening is, and what we're talking about here in these new types of divine organizations, is an opportunity where both the place for the order, the masculine principle, is embraced in its divinity and in divine design with sacred geometric patterns of how the organization organizes and things like this, but also where the place for the sacred feminine, unpredictable divinity, chaotic divinity, which meet in the middle at that chaotic point, chaos and order in balance, that room for that feminine is so much bigger, that holding of the masculine is so much stronger because of its structuring through divine grace and through divine geometry, that the infinite can flow through and meet in the middle. And that is the zero point of the Vesca Pisces, the very center point where all of reality is possible.
The only thing we got to do is just leave them a seat at the table, and they shall join us for breakfast.
Yeah. Yes. And in a way, they were always sitting at the table. And we just morphed back into the sitters.
And then they were the table, the food, and the people eating it. But the thing is this, you know, what I realized is before changing the cup, how we can show the subtlety of our evolution, and that's also in the beauty. If we got there, then no point. It's all in those
exactly the journey, not the destination, journey, right?
Perhaps neither. It's the people you're with.
Hey, my man.
So you know, for example, you're trying to hold a space together, and you see it slowly disintegrating. First, you know, of course, you got to look at your own shadows and disintegration. But once you have a certain it's not nice to, of course, to set any type of hierarchies in this manner, but at least hierarchies in the moment, not in reality. In the moment, you could be the one intending, praying for, and willing to open and hold the space.
Yes.
And you have that, let's say, that trail blazed into you by ancestors, blessed, graced by God, medicine, work on yourself.
But it's not through any superiority, it's simply through opening the channels of divinity, which are accessible to all.
Of course.
Right? So it's just through a choice of activation, you gain more power in yourself and in your ability to manifest around you, including manifestations affect others.
Of course, but this is, I would say, more the masculine, the West point of view, which is equally correct. But in the end, if I may, Lao Tzu would say, in one line in I Ching, it's about like know the masculine but keep to the feminine. Like know that is the case, but just like opening the door for the blessings to come in, it's gonna come in anyways. Like it's gonna be a throw out like break open the door, come in like the Kool-Aid man. Rather be like welcome, and that is like saying the perspective of saying it is all by God's grace. It's all by being tender and like receiving God's grace, because it's such a power that like it's
absolutely, man. Yes, so well said. The knowing and the simultaneously awe-inspiring humility of not knowing at the same time.
Unless we're at war, and that that changes all things, which I believe brings to where you were going to, because we are at the time.
The crossing of
yes, and this is at the same time a war.
It's true. Happening. In one perception, and there are many spiritual people who will claim this without negative tension about it, but they will claim that there is a galactic war going on.
Star Wars.
Between the forces of evolution and anti-evolution. And it's not good and evil. We need to be a bit careful when we talk about this, because, you know, light and dark are in divine balance, but evolution is the process of God creator. Even in destruction, at this point of the cycle, there is evolution, but the evolution is switched from an outward state into an inward state, right? And that continues the evolution of all of life, which is the infinite expansion of God manifesting in every moment experienced through time, space, and these bodies. Yet there are some forces in the universe, which we don't need to get into how they emerged, but they did.
The metaphysics.
Yeah, which are an anti-evolution camp, which want evolution to go backwards and less and less intelligent.
The metaphysical devil.
In some light, which then manifested and fractalized into other sub-manifestations.
Yeah.
And those two are what are the war, where the war is happening. In divinity, there's no war, because it's all part of this game, which is beyond the war concept and takes out the seriousness, this game of life evolving.
Yes.
Yet in this realm and in this embodied experience, there is some type of cosmic conflict between anti-evolution and evolution. And that is still manifesting. And that is also where the unpredictability of that sacred feminine and where we go with this and how the baby looks. And even that we get there is not 100% defined, just like the cup, right? It's in the opposite direction of the cup, highly likely, but there's a chance that not. That interplay is the beauty of the unknown. Just like we choose to forget when we come so we can experience life all again, there is so much richness in unknown. And that is to be embraced in every moment of our life, because when we embrace what we don't know, we allow to manifest the best thing that could be.
Still, for me, the biggest mystery it is, I believe, the greatest virtue, the most childish. You know the laughing Buddha, the fat one?
Yeah.
You know why he's fat and laughing?
Tell me.
He's depicting Maitreya, not Siddhartha Gautama.
Will you explain the difference?
But the future Buddha that shall incarnate on earth at some point.
Because Siddhartha is the fully enlightened Buddha and fully realized. And
Maitreya, according to my knowledge, is his next incarnation on earth.
So the one which is still going through the cycles of incarnation.
Because you're saying,
And there is that superposition.
Of course, like an avatar, let's say.
Yes, okay.
And at this point, it's something different. The story is different. And there's like this joyful and content part to Maitreya. The reason I am saying this is because you're juxtaposition to what I was, where I was coming from while saying war, was something that synthesized the whole conversation for me and put me at some sort of ease. Beyond all this awe of the feminine, the power of the divine masculine, the pulls and pushes of life, the non-dual state, the wu-wei. And the page I opened was talking about
the Gita.
The Gita, translated by Jack Hawley.
Highly recommended version.
Yes. In the part 3, Attaining Liberation Now, although I'd rather not, it's sort of YouTube-y, but you know, we could make that the name of this. Attaining Liberation Now. So the first chapter is The Field and Its Knower, distinguishing between matter and spirit. And then chapter 14, going beyond the three forces of nature, the gunas, beyond time, space and circumstances, to the place where the mind is tranquil and the ego disappears. That's it. Those who transcend the gunas are in essence watchers, the watchers. Beyond the worldly, although constantly aware of the inevitable cycle of birth, disease, senility, grief, and so forth, they dwell above it all and merely witness it. They feel no attraction or aversion to any of the gunas, to any of the states of being. No desire even for the calm joy of sattva or the excitement of rajas. So the calm joy of sattva, you know, it's perhaps best not to get into it now without studying it further, but that's for me sort of represents within this conversation the, you know, when we were seeing the divine feminine, talking about it, opening ourselves to its love. And at some second I had that fire, that rajas of the excitement of like, you know, this needs to be done. Not opening the door for God's grace, but opening the door and jumping out into it, out of a sense of pioneering, in a good sense. But many other complexities to it too. That, when used in a personal manner, is perhaps creating even more karma, not releasing us from the cycles of death and rebirth.
So how does one attain true liberation in this process, in your view, like to escape those cycles of karma while still serving the work? In the beginning of the Gita, the beautiful point when Krishna comes online and then is talking to Arjuna, and Arjuna is actually fighting, is not wanting to fight in the battle, because he sees his friends on the other side, he sees his teacher in the other camp, he knows that, and he doesn't want to go through the suffering of killing them. And yet, in a quite surprising analogy, Krishna, the higher consciousness flowing through and teaching him to make the tale of this book, is basically telling him, no, you must step out of your attachment, and actually you must fight, because it is the divinely ordained action is to go out and fight. And if actually you don't fight, you won't be respected anymore. But it's not said in an ego way. Your people will hate you. They will make stories about
you're
you.
You're being called to this. It's not your...
Exactly.
Going
this
it.
Is your divine duty, is to fight. Even if you die. If you die and fight, it's okay. And it's what you're meant to do. If you win, you stood up for the righteous path of what you need to.
This is the tip of the wave that you will surf like a divine person on earth.
Exactly. Not rejecting the need to step up and act.
Because the wave is coming, man.
It's either coming. One way or another. It's coming, and it needs you at the same time. It needs you at the same time. The wave is coming, and you are that wave. Right?
Mm-hmm. And you are the... Mm.
So you must stand in your power.
And perhaps depression is being just like... Bolmaktam. Drowning in this wave, the wave. If you're too late, the wave drowns you, and you gotta become the fish. A little bit, perhaps dolphin. A little bit like the Jonah. Be swallowed by the. And it's coming back full circle.
The interesting thing is that when you're swallowed by the wave, mm-hmm. two things happen in juxtaposition.
Mm.
One is that you remember how to swim, because you become the fish.
Mm.
And you start.
Or swallowed by the fish.
Oh, true. If you're Jonah, yeah. But then you're still in a fish that's moving, mm-hmm. you know, in some way. So you're not aware of that, and you're in a different reality, but you're still in the ocean. You're still moving with the wave, right? But in parallel, does the fish know it's swimming? Does it even know what water is? Mm. Is the old saying
goes. Does it have any sort of separation from the water itself?
Well, exactly. Part of it. And it influences it mm. with every movement, which influences every other fish, which comes back to this wave idea. There's the waves.
And you know what's beautiful about it?
We're all influencing each other's waves.
At the same time, what's the divine about it and beautiful? That's the last archetype in the journey of the zodiac.
Really?
Pisces is the last one, bro. At that point, like Pisces, I in my trip to Kabak, God bless, I was in the presence of two lovely Pisces ladies,
mm.
and it was the full moon in Pisces,
oof.
Beginning of September, and there was also Scorpio. Which is also the zodiac, they say, zodiac sign of Turkey.
Mm.
I don't know how they make it up, but it makes so much sense. The wisdom of Pisces, also how Christ consciousness came at the end of the age of Pisces. And there's also this saying of like, are we truly going back in the zodiac counterclockwise or to the age of Aquarius, or because of the change in Earth magnetic waves, are we going to turn back the other way and going back into the age of Pisces, where the Christ consciousness comes back a second time to incarnate on Earth within those who self-realize.
And some say the Christ consciousness and Krishna consciousness is actually the same.
100%.
And so it's important not to be attached to the names, knowing that these are representations of patterns of mm. energy of in what could be described as highly coherent patterns, highly evolved fractals mm-hmm. of reality that are so powerful in their vibrationary resonance, which is beyond the visualization of this realm and into an interdimensional cosmic expression, that they are able to harmonize the space all around them into that light. It's not just that it's beautiful in discrete fashion, it's that it's beautiful in its imprint on all of the other patterns of reality, as were all of the prophets, Christ, Muhammad, Buddha, all of the incarnations of avatar states, or people realizing their avatar self, were affecting reality to degrees where their vibration mm. is still vibrating in the time-space of today. And still shaking the reality and structuring it in that way. And so every single one of us has that potential to vibrate in such a manner that that strength and power and beauty of the fractal bursts so strong that it emanates down through all of reality beyond time and space,
man,
and into the manifestation of that heaven on earth reality.
The the reboot of the DC Comics universe, the Flashpoint. I'm reminded of it, but how a certain event in time and space is, you can hear its shockwaves across time and even before it, and it's the heart that is able to pick up from this vibration.
Absolutely, which is an essential point to all of this. We're talking about these concepts with an incredible degree of passion, intellectualism.
Oh no, no isms, bro. A no isms up in this.
Okay. But nonetheless, there's a tendency that I've noticed very strong in myself to get in the mind about all of this.
True, and to
speak from the mind. And the mind is not to be rejected either. The mind is a highly valuable form of expression, and which has this divinity too. And part of it is the channeled state that we're tapping into now. But in the daily living, these realities are so much more enjoyable and so much more powerful in their vibrational imprint when experienced through the heart. When experienced through the genuine appreciation, the genuine awe of creation, without labeling, without analyzing, through perceiving in real time, in real presence, everything that is infinitely unfolding and infinitely progressing in its expression of beauty.
Like a beautiful woman.
A beautiful woman, a beautiful man, beautiful cat.
Of course, beautiful.
A beautiful kettle. But I will agree with you that a beautiful woman,
the most, yeah. you know, the mind is sort of the only radio, perhaps, other than the hands. And but the rest of the body, at least. No. It's the radio that is able to play the channel of wisdom.
Well, brother. So we just went into full power, creative channeling, and what a discussion.
It's a.
I think what we touched on today, beyond anything, is that we managed to crystallize some highly complex topics into a poetry.
Uh-huh.
Into a poetry of expression. And although we are separate in our experience of ourselves and reality, a collective field was created.
The peak of the mountain, as we said, is singular. And for me, getting out of this conversation, that's where we both touched in our own ways. We both had that eagle fly from our spirit, take all the path, go up to the peak, see the view, come down and talk to us in that beautiful space. And this gave me, although we're so close, I'd say, this gave me, within that fractal wave that connects us together, that sort of like, you know, do you play two different notes? the Aralık, they say, the space between those two notes and their harmony, somehow made me able to contemplate upon the vastness and the wideness of this mountain, and made me feel blessed and grateful that we are, the sun is slowly rising on our side of the facet, and here we are in Sagalassos.
Ancient city
From the Phrygians, all going all the way back to the Hittites, and we're gonna ask this question on our trip: what was it that brought all of those people here thousands of years ago, create this pearl white creation that reflects so much of the divinity that is within us, not the distortion. The distortion through the human mind of the people who made this city is so pure. And what was it for them to live in all those hardships on top of this hill, on top of this mountain? What was the abundance that caused it to become an economical and political center, and have Alexander the Great
And Marcus Aurelius
come
here,
live
here, even, no?
Or
have part of the operation based here.
Mm-hmm. What brought them here, and what were their eyes seeing?
Shall we go find out?
Yes, sir.